Banking has stood still for decades. Slow, clunky, and designed around its own convenience, not yours. Mercury was built to end that. Fast, elegant, and works the way you'd expect best-in-class software to work. No fighting outdated systems. No nickel and diming. Visit Mercury.com to apply in minutes and experience the difference for yourself. Mercury is a fintech company, not an FDIC-insured bank. Banking services provided through Federal Choice Financial Group and Column NA, members FDIC.
When legacy automation starts impacting visibility and downtime, it may be time to consider modernization. Graybar's automation specialists work alongside your team to help you identify risks and map out realistic upgrade paths without unnecessary disruptions. Get started with a free health check of your operations and see what's possible. Yep, Graybar does that.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio. Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily. Joe Giglio with you. Appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast. YouTube feed is 94 WIP. Check it out there. We're at McGurk's in Lionville today. Come on out if you're around the area, if you're going to be in, you know, in the area for lunch, or maybe you're on the road for work. Come on out, have some lunch, hang out. McGurk's in Lionville on this Wednesday for the midday show. We'll lead you right into the Phillies and Cardinals finale of their three-game set in St. Louis. All right, a lot to react to today. Talk about tough loss for the Phillies last night, 2-0. And they're now tied, three-way tie for the final two wildcard spots with the Diamondbacks and the San Diego Padres. I do think this is going to be a fight down the stretch to make the playoffs. I do not think the Phillies are going to coast in the way they have in some other years. And the division is basically a wrap at this point, with the Atlanta Braves holding, you know, basically a nine-game lead in the NL East. So we'll talk about the Phillies today. Some Eagles as well off the camp yesterday. And one thing that's on the top of my mind, so the Eagles put the depth chart out yesterday, their first unofficial depth chart. And, you know, there's some stuff on there that probably will change, some stuff on there that's not surprising. But I just was struck when I was looking at their defensive line. And I was talking about the edges. I'm talking about their defensive line. And, you know, they have cultivated one of the better defensive lines in the NFL, and they have developed players at that spot. And when I think of their defensive line, like their front three, they're starting three, because, you know, primarily this is a 3-4 front that Vic Fangio uses, and he'll move people up and down, and he'll have the edges there that will come off. But the three down linemen that you want on the field in the biggest downs are Jordan Davis in the middle as your classic nose tackle, and then, you know, the two defensive ends, but really the defensive tackles in the 3-4 that they play end next to Jordan Davis are Moro Ojomo and of course, Jalen Carter. And a couple of things that's just kind of in my head from yesterday. We had Jordan Davis on the show live from camp. Really fun talking to him. We've talked to him basically every year. He's a good dude, nice guy, and easy to root for. And you could tell just talking to him and listening to him how much he's grown up over the past few years. He's a leader now. He's not a kid trying to find his way. He's a leader with a significant contract, and the Eagles have doubled down on the commitment they made to him, first with a first-round pick and now with a contract. They believe in Jordan Davis as president future. Then you have Jalen Carter, the Eagles obviously believe in, to the extent of drafting him with some red flags, helping develop him, watch him grow as a tremendous football player, and especially one, you know, a couple years ago that was a difference maker, and then rewarding him with the highest contract in the history of the position. And they have Mauro Giomo, who's on a different end of the spectrum, but will soon be in the same realm. And now I mean by money. Your Mauro Giomo is a seventh-round draft pick, not supposed to be in the realm of Davis and Carter, but he is in their realm. And he's the kind of guy that you more you watch him. I was watching a video last night the Eagles put out where it's kind of behind the scenes of his day, the work he puts in, the shape he is in. We had Mauro on the show last year. It was the first time I ever spoke to him. And I thought Mauro Giomo was really, really just, you could tell like there's a, almost was a demeanor and a focus of a guy that will not be denied. I was impressed by talking to him last year. I was not surprised last year when he went on to have a big season. I'm not surprised that he is in line to get paid a lot of money when this season ends. Now, potentially the Eagles could try to keep his defensive line together and pay him too. That would feel like a lot. That would feel like a major expenditure to pay a third defensive lineman along with at least one edge in Jonathan Greenard. And then I imagine they'll pay another edge in Jalex Hunt. Two corners have to get paid, one on the outside and one on the nickel. So there's a lot of people to pay here on this defense. But Mauro Giomo is the kind of player you want to keep around. And if he does hit free agency with the upward trajectory he's on, someone is going to pay him big money. But as I look at the depth chart and I think about the conversations we've had on the Midday Show with Jordan, a lot of the years, Mauro last year, obviously observing and listening to Jalen Carter as he's grown, came into camp 10 pounds lighter. Seems like he's dominating every single day. He looks like he's healthy with the shoulders, in a good place. And hopefully this is a career year for Jalen Carter. But I was thinking about these three and looking at the depth chart. And they remind me their skill set, the way they play off each other, the way they play together, the way they are in this particular front that Vic Fangio uses. These three, Jordan Davis, Jalen Carter, and Mauro Giomo, remind me of one of the great defensive line groups of, I think, NFL history, but certainly of the last 25 years in the NFL. They remind me of the three down front that helped lead the Patriots in their dynasty of Richard Seymour, Vince Wilfork, and Ty Warren. Now, Ty Warren was always the forgotten one in that mix, but Ty Warren was a heck of a football player. And the comps aren't just, oh, this is a good, you know, group of three that play off each other, play up front and get, you know, with each other in a 3-4. It's really that each of them reminds me of one of the guys in particular on that Patriots defensive front. Let's start with Jordan Davis, because I think that similarity is probably the easiest to just picture. Jordan Davis reminds me of Vince Wilfork. Vince Wilfork was a great player. Vince Wilfork was a leader. He was a guy that everyone respected as time went on in that Patriots locker room. He was a guy Belichick really respected. And he was a guy that you looked at him, especially at times of his career, you're like, man, this guy's out of shape. This guy's not taking care of himself. But he was one of the most athletic football players I have ever watched. For him to be able to do the things he did at his size was flat out unbelievable. He anchored that defensive line. And, you know, Jordan Davis has had some trouble with his weight, just like Vince Wilfork did. But you see the flashes of special athleticism. You go back to the NFL combine where Jordan Davis ran the kind of 40-yard dash he ran. You go back to the 2023 season where Jordan Davis ran down Josh Allen on a play outside the pocket, the kind of play that, you know, most defensive linemen, Josh Allen clearly gets the corner on and gets away, and Jordan Davis chased him down. That was high-end kind of speed you don't see from players at the size that Jordan Davis is. And then you go to last year, the field goal block and the return against the Los Angeles Rams to win that game on a walk-off touchdown, the kind of plays that you just don't see from people and players that big. Jordan Davis, Vince Wilfork, I see a lot of similarities, and I think like Vince, Jordan is going to have a very good, you know, future, and he's going to be looked at as a leader and a pillar of this football team on the defensive side for years to come. Then, of course, there's the Richard Seymour, Jalen Carter. Richard Seymour, I still think, is one of the more underrated greats of the last 20-something years of pro football. You go back to 2000, right? So in this century, I think he's one of the more underrated great players. A guy that could rush the quarterback, just like Jalen Carter, but a guy that could also play the run, anchor, strong, physical at the point of attack. You know, he could make people look silly. And you go back to those Patriots teams, you know, the 03, 04, 07, he was really the linchpin of those defenses. You know, you go back to the first Super Bowl they won, and you have the Ty Laws, and you have like some of the older guys, the Brewskis, that were there and had been there. But that 01 defense was more scheme, vets, and kind of ham and eggers. You know, and I'm not trying to downplay the talent, but that's what they were. I mean, Lawyer, all those guys. As time went on, Belichick rebuilt the defense, changed it, made it younger. And then it sort of revolved around Richard Seymour and his ability to do everything, to play inside, to play a little bit outside, to move around the line of scrimmage, to be the guy everyone accounted for, yet he still impacted the game in a significant way. That's Jalen Carter. Because when you talk to people that truly understand the game, they realize he's the linchpin of this. He's the sun, the moon, and the stars of what they do, which is why the Eagles paid him and they wanted to keep him. And unless they acquired a different sun, the moon, and the stars, like the conversation last year with Micah Parsons, you know, Carter was going to remain that guy for them. And Richard Seymour was that guy for the Patriots. Now, you know, sometimes you remember the ending, and the ending is the Patriots trading Richard Seymour to the Raiders for a first round pick. You're like, well, yeah, but they traded him away. Well, he was a little bit older then. He had given them great years. He wanted more money. They got a first round pick for him. And that's good business. But I'm not talking about how this ends. I'm talking about the bulk of their careers and their primes in their 20s. And I see a lot of Richard Seymour when I watch Jalen Carter. And I've had this comp in my head, this duo for a while, the Will Fork Seymour thing. But the more I watch Njomo at practice, the more I observe his rise here, and it is a rise. I mean, to go from where he was to where he's about to be is a rise. And last year, he had a good amount of sacks. I mean, he broke out last year. But Moro Ojomo reminds me of Ty Warren. Ty Warren from Texas A&M. Now, Warren was a high pick. He was a first-round pick. Moro Ojomo, seventh-round pick. So the similarities are not in their draft status, but it's in their play. It's in their ability. It's in their, you know, Ojomo's got some, he's got long arms, and Warren had those too. And, you know, you look at Ojomo, and you don't think defensive tackle. You don't think 3-4 defensive end, because he's got more of a tweener look and a feel to him. But, man, the core strength, the athleticism, the length with his arms, the football IQ, the ability to get better and better and better. And I thought for years Ty Warren was really underrated, because he was the one that didn't get talked about on that defensive line, because he seemed more. Will Fork was obviously a unique-looking player. I mean, he looked like a bowling ball out there. And the guy couldn't be moved, and he was fast, and he could run, all that kind of stuff. You know, Jordan Davis is taller than Vince Wilfork was, but, you know, a unique-looking athlete, you kind of gravitate your eyes towards. Well, look at Jordan Davis. He's gigantic. He's tall. He's big. He's a good run. And then Richard Seymour was the best, just like Jalen Carter is the best. But then you kind of forget about that third guy. And that third guy is Moro Ojomo here. And I think if Ojomo stays healthy and has a good season, and we go into free agency next year, he is going to get a ton of money. An incredible amount of money to go play for someone next season in free agency. Now, I have been workshopping in my brain recently, should the Eagles just pay him too? And I think it's getting a little complicated, because I think they want to leave the door open, as they should, that they're going to pay their quarterback, that Jalen Hurts excels, has a great season. They win a lot of football games. He takes this offense. He's healthy, spry, fast, runs, all that kind of stuff. And you kind of feel like, well, how can we move on from this guy? We want to bring back Jalen Hurts again on another long-term deal. Well, if that's the case, you know, the money's going to start getting tight around here. And they have to re-sign Cooper DeJean. They have to re-sign Quinyon Mitchell. I think Moro Ojomo is going to be the one that is forced to wait and forced to just be patient on this. But I don't think it's out of the realm that after this season, if the Eagles decide they are going a different direction at quarterback, or they decide, you know, we'll keep Jalen for one more year at the money he's got, but we're not re-signing him. We're going to draft a first-round pick quarterback, develop him under him. You know, I mean, we'll see how the permeations of this go, if Jalen's okay with that, if he'd play one more year as a lame duck, what a first-round pick quarterback might take his job. I don't know. I would think there'd be more of a cleaner break, and Jalen will be on a different team next year with a new contract if he plays okay this season. But again, I don't know how it's going to play out. I do think the Eagles will wait. I don't think they're going to pay Ojomo, but you can make the case just based on him, like in a vacuum, they should pay Ojomo right now. You know, Milton Williams got a lot of money, $100 million when he left here because of what he did in his final season. I will not be surprised if more Ojomo plays his way into an $80 to $100 million contract this season. He had a good amount of sacks last year. He could have them again this year. He could be part of one of the best defenses of pro football. And, you know, he's got that upside, age, trajectory. It's all pointing in the right direction. And a team with cap room next offseason is going to jump at that. So what would he cost? I don't know. You know, he doesn't have years of data on him, but he's got enough. We know where he's going, but he doesn't have anything in the bank. So maybe he would, and I, you know, I don't know exactly what he has in the bank, but you know what I mean? He doesn't have a first round pick contract that you could say, well, I've got this kind of nest egg. He was a seventh round pick. So he's made very little money in the league relative to his peers. You know, would he take a $15 million a year contract and a 3-year extension right now, $345? I would offer that. You know, if it gets to 20 on a 4 or 5 year contract, then you kind of have to pull back a little bit. If I say, I don't know if we could do this right now, we got to wait. But if you wait, it is a big year. You're probably priced out of Moro Ojomo. It is an excellent defensive line. It is one of the best in pro football. They don't have the edges that other teams do, that the best defenses maybe around them have, like let's say the Texans with Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter. But they have these three up front that if they stay healthy, just like those guys in New England, they're going to dominate and they're going to be one of the best in the National Football League. Ojomo and Carter and Davis remind me so much of Ty Warren, Richard Seymour, and Vince Wilfork up in New England. I appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast. YouTube feed is 94WIP. Check it out there. My book, whatiffphillybook.com. It is available now for pre-order on my website, whatiffphillybook.com. Every pre-order comes with free shipping and a personalized autograph. Hop on, purchase the book. Happy to get it to you ASAP as soon as they print, which is going to happen very soon here. And if you know anyone out there that would like a book like that, check it out and tell them about it. Thank you so much. Appreciate listening to WIP Daily.